right. Oh, those scales. Oh, we're rich, Kel. Come on up and...
What is it, John?
Oh, Kel, it's alive. I bet it's almost dead, I think. I think we can kill it and...
John, come away from there!
A fortune, Kel, a fortune. Oh, Kel, I'm going to sling a rock at it.
No! No, John, no rock!
But the intrepid little sister was already twirling her sling. With the skill of long practice and a natural knack, she let fly.
Got him!
Kelvin couldn't speak. His horror had closed off his throat entirely. He held his breath as John stared down the opposite side of the pile. What was she seeing there, anyway?
It's me, Kel! It's awake! Kel, it's coming for me!
Run, John, run! Back here!
John's head appeared at the crest. Now it came to him. This huge pile of debris had been kicked up by the fighting dragons. Fighting? Then why wasn't the loser dead? A dragon never left prey or an enemy alive. He would chew it to bits just out of spite, even if he wasn't hungry. Dragons like to kill, to make blood splatter. Everyone knew that. When they fought each other, the loser always died because no dragon ever fled from anything. It couldn't have been a fight. Then what had happened? Obviously, this dragon had been only sleeping. But why had it scratched up such a mountain of refuse? For he was sure now, the natural hill here had been enhanced by more than flood refuse. Dragons were known to be as lazy as any other creature. They saved their energy for important things, like pursuing prey and fighting and mating. He remembered the stories now. The mating of dragons was almost indistinguishable from a fight to the death. It seemed that the females never did mate voluntarily, so the males had to run them down and subdue them and rape them. It was said that the effort of doing this tired out a male dragon more than any other activity, and that some dropped into deep sleep on the spot. That must have been the case with this one. Probably it would have slept for several more hours if John hadn't jolted him with a rock on the snoot. John was coming down the ragged slope, slip-sliding across slime-slick stones. The dragons probably hadn't even noticed the havoc they wrought on the landscape. The male had finally tamed the female, probably holding her down with his huge teeth and claws while it rammed into her torso. There would be blood galore, his as well as hers. Once the male's urge was spent, his grip would have relaxed, and the female would have torn free and departed. John turned and dropped, sliding through loosely piled debris and river-borne brush. She had fallen into a hole in the pile. Huge claws dug at smooth rock to find a foothold. Kelvin looked wildly about for safety, spotted none, and turned to his faithful steed. The donkey, amazingly enough, was chomping grass. Obviously, the animal was stone deaf. This was the first time Kelvin had realized it. What does one do when one's sister is in dire danger from a menace that cannot be opposed? One does what little one can. Raising the old sword in his already sore hand, Kelvin rushed madly for the pile. A tree trunk lay next to some smaller rocks and made a regular staircase that John had followed. Kelvin's running feet found it of their own accord. He reached the spot where John had fallen, looked down between stacked rocks and tree trunks, and saw her frightened face.
Kel, I can't get out in time! I'm trapped! Save yourself, Kel! Save yourself!
Kelvin, in a rear portion of his mind, recognized this as one of his sister's better ideas, but somehow he wasn't satisfied with it. Whether he would have taken her up on it, he could never afterward be certain. For at that moment, the golden-scaled, elongated snout of the dragon appeared over the pile's top boulder. The thing was simultaneously awful and beautiful. Deadly living gold. He had known that dragons were monstrous, but from this range, that was an appalling understatement. He judged that this one could swallow both of them in a single gulp. He could not see the main torso, but guessed that its size must be equivalent to that of 6 or 7 large war horses. The monster levered itself up on gigantic scaled claws. Its entire head was now visible, and the front of its body. Kelvin could see the crest on the head and the short leathery wings. He knew he should be afraid, but his emotions seemed to have shorted out that stage, leaving him strangely clear-headed. Calvin raised his sword. His arms shook so that he seemed to be fencing. He wished he had scoured off the rust and put a razor edge on the blade. He couldn't imagine what he could do with a sharp, clean sword, let alone this dull, dirty one. But now was not a good time for imagination anyway. His arm went numb. Something serpentine and leathery and wet curled three times around his sword blade and twice around his wrist. He lurched backward in horror and was promptly pulled forward by the long forked tongue.